'Tis not that I did choose thee, Lord, for Lord that could not be.
Toddsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Man O' War Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
In John chapter 8, verse 47, the Lord Jesus Christ said this to the people he had been preaching to. He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. I've entitled this message, Of God or Not of God. This comes from this statement the Lord made, of God or not of God. Now, if I am preaching God's word, I'm not talking about my opinions or my thoughts or my view of, but I am actually preaching God's word, what God has said in His word. If I am preaching God's word, I know that every believer will be in complete agreement with what I'm saying. Now somebody says, how can you say that? Because of this verse of scripture I just read. He that's of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Of God or not of God? Now in this passage of scripture, the Lord said to these same people, he said this to, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Now, these people said they believed, and the Lord says, if you do, you'll continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, in truth, in reality, in fact. Well, the fact of the matter is they did not continue in his word. As a matter of fact, at the end of this message, they pick up stones to stone him. They were so angry with what he said. Now, he says in verse 37, I know that you're Abraham's seed, physical Jews, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Now, they prove themselves to not be disciples indeed by this response. And the Lord says to them, you seek to kill me. I know you're Abraham's seed physically, but obviously you're not Abraham's seed spiritually, because you seek to kill me, and my word has no place in you. Now I want to read a passage of scripture from Genesis chapter 18 with regard to Abraham and his seed. We read in Genesis 18 verse 17, this is when the Lord is getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And in verse 17, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. You see, through his seed, the Messiah would come. That's how all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And then the Lord says, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham the things which he hath spoken of him. Now, is this talking about Abraham's superior parenting skills? No, it's not. his children, physical descendants, would be just as sinful as you and I are. There would be just as much contradictions with them. But this is talking about his spiritual seed, the seed of Abraham. They will believe the gospel. Now, the Lord says to these people, I know that you're Abraham's physical seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. You hate me with such a complete hatred that you want my death. Now, somebody says, boy, those were really bad people. Yes, I agree. They were really bad people, but they're no different than you and I by nature, because the scripture says the carnal mind is enmity against God. Every natural man would throw God from his throne if he could and take his place. That's the natural man's view of God. And they wanted to kill Jesus Christ, and they did nail him to a cross. It was all according to God's purpose, but they did, with wicked hands, crucify and slay him. He said, you want to kill me because my word hath no place in you. It's not received by you. You see, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. Neither indeed can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And no man by nature can receive the word of God. Now he says in verse 38, I speak that which I see with my Father. My words are the words of the Father, because I and my Father are one. He spake nothing but the word of God. And you do that which you've seen with your Father. Now, God is not everybody's Father. And he says to these people, you speak that which you've seen of your Father. Like father, like son. They answered him and said unto him, Abraham's our father. What are you talking about? Abraham's our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. Now he goes on in this passage of scripture to say, you're of your father, the devil. Now, those are strong words. These are not my words. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he's speaking to these people, he says, you are of your father, the devil. Now, that's his words. And he's the one who knows. But he says, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now, verse 40, you seek to kill me. A man that hath told you the truth, which I've heard of God. Did not Abraham. Abraham never conducted himself like this. If you were his spiritual steed, you would do his works. Now, I've told you the truth of God, and you want to kill me. Abraham wasn't like this. You prove who your father is. You do the deeds of your father. Not everybody can say, our Father, which art in heaven. Only the seed of Abraham, the spiritual seed of Abraham, the true believer, can say that. And he said in verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. And they said unto him, we are not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. God's our Father. Jesus saith unto them, if God were your Father, you'd love me. They had no love for Christ. And that proved that God was not their Father. If God were your Father, you'd love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Now, this is one of the most mysterious truths that we believe. The Trinity. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, proceeded from the Father. He is a separate person from the Father. He proceeded from the Father. He's the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. The Bible teaches God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Not three gods, one God in three distinct persons. Somebody says, can you explain that? No, it's impossible. This is other. It's not from this world. This is God's revelation of himself, but this is who he is. And the Lord said, I proceeded forth and came from God. Now, if I take a pitcher of water and pour in a cup some water, all of a sudden that water in that cup is separate from the water that was in the pitcher, but it's the same water. It has the same properties, the same makeup. Christ proceeded forth from God as God the Son. He's separate, God the Son and God the Father, yet he's one with the Father because he is God. I love to say that. Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, is nobody less than God Almighty, the creator of the universe. Now he says, if God were your Father, you'd love me, for I proceeded forth God and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. And then he asked this question to these people who were claiming to be children of God, and God was their Father and the seed of Abraham. He said, why do you not understand my speech? And he doesn't wait for them to give an answer. He gives the answer himself. Even because you cannot hear my word. My word has no place in you. You can't hear it. Now you can hear audibly. You hear the words I'm saying, but you can't receive my word. You can't understand my word. You can't hear my word. You lack the ability to hear my word. Now, these people were just like those people in John chapter 6 during a sermon in Capernaum. After they heard his message, they said, these are hard sayings. These are difficult sayings. We don't like what's being said. Who can hear it? Who can be expected to listen to such teaching? Lord's saying the same thing here. Why is it you don't understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my word. You see, not everybody has ears to hear. And then he makes this statement in verse 44 to these people. And I can't make a statement like this to somebody because I can't see into their heart and I don't know whether the Lord's going to save them or not. Now, I know if somebody dies in unbelief, I could say this, but you don't know that until the end. But listen to what he says to these people. He says, you are of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father, you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Now he says to these people in no uncertain terms, you're of your father, the devil. You see, they hated the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord knew it. He says, you're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. You want to kill me? Well, you're just like your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. And you're right there with him. You're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. And he makes this statement, because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Now this was their crime. Now understand this. Unbelief is a choice. If you do not believe, it's because you choose not to believe. You don't like what's being said, so you choose, I will not believe that. And that is what makes unbelief so intrinsically, essentially, and fundamentally evil. It's choosing to not believe. Now, if you believe, you don't choose to believe. You believe something because it's true. You don't, I don't hear 1 + 1 = 2, and let me think. I think I'm going to choose to believe that. No, you just believe it because it is. That is the response to the truth. Really, when you hear the truth, you know it's the truth, and you believe it. But if you don't like what's being said, you choose to not believe it, and that is why unbelief is so evil. Every sin comes from this sin of unbelief. He said, because I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth concerning the character of God. I tell you the truth concerning man and his sinfulness. I tell you the truth concerning salvation, how God saves sinners. You hear this and you say, I don't believe that. No, I won't have that. That is why unbelief is so evil. You're choosing not to believe. And then he makes this statement in verse 46, and this is a statement that only he can make. Which of you convinces me of sin? He's saying this to those who are opposed to him. He said, which of you can convince me of sin? The Lord Jesus Christ, yes, he's God. Yes, he is the perfect man who never committed a sin. He never had a sinful thought. He never had a sinful motive. He never had a sinful deed. And no one could ever prove that he ever committed a sin because he didn't commit a sin. And if you know him, you'll know this is so. Even the thief on the cross understood this. He said, this man hath done nothing amiss. Now, how did he know he'd only known him while he was on the cross? How could he look back at his past life and say, I know he's never sinned? Because he knew who he was. Jesus Christ is incapable of sin. He's the God-man, fully God, fully man, incapable of sin. And he could look at his detractors and say, which of you can convince me of sin? And if I say the truth, why don't you believe me? I say the truth concerning the character of my Father. No one knows God apart from me, and I tell the truth concerning him. I say the truth concerning man, his own sinfulness and his own need of grace. I say the truth concerning God's salvation. I say the truth. Now, if I say the truth, why don't you believe me? He answers the question with this statement. He that's of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not because you are not of God. Now there are two kinds of people described in this verse. Those who are of God and those who are not of God. Now there's only two kinds of people, those who are of God and those who are not of God. There's no in between. There's no third party. The Bible always describes men in one of two groups, the righteous or the wicked, the saved or the lost. Those that believe and those who do not believe. Children of God and children of the devil. Sheep, goats, tares, wheat. He says to these people, he that's of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not because you are not of God. Now what is meant by that? Being of God. Now this preposition of speaks of origin, possession, and relationship. That's what the word of means. Of speaks of origin. I'm of God. He is where I'm from. Somebody says, well, I could say I'm from Ashland, Kentucky, and physically I am, but I'm of God. I have my origin in Him. This speaks of possession. I'm His. I belong to Him. David said, I'm thine. Save me. I belong to Him. I'm from Him. I belong to Him. The word of speaks of relationship. I'm His son. I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. My Father is God of. This speaks of the difference between a believer and an unbeliever. I am of God. To be of God means every aspect of your salvation is of Him. You can't trace it to you. You can't trace it to your works. Every aspect of your salvation, and you know this, you know it for sure, salvation's of the Lord. He did it. Not you. You're of Him. It's of God in eternal election. He chose who would be saved. It's of God in redemption. He died for the elect and accomplished their salvation. It's of God in regeneration. Salvation's of the Lord. He gave you life. He applies it. He said to one group of people, you believe not because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. He didn't say you're not my sheep because you don't believe. He said you do not believe because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep, hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Of God. Listen to this scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Of Him are you in Christ Jesus. Now, to be in Christ means that when God looks at you, all He sees is Christ because you're in Christ. Of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now, this is speaking of the believer's union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Of Him are you in Christ Jesus, as the vine and the branches, the stem is in the branch and the vine. You're one with Christ. Hebrews 2:11 says, both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for the which cause he's not ashamed to call us brethren. In Christ eternally, of Him are you in Christ Jesus. This speaks of the believer's eternal union with the Lord Jesus Christ. You've always been in Him. To be of God is to be born of God. Not only to be eternally united to Christ, to be of God is to be born of God. Listen to this scripture. As many as received Him, this is John 1, 12 and 13. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on His name, which were born. Not of blood. You're not born again because your mom and dad are. There's no fleshly connection. Which were born not of the will of man, not because a bunch of men got together and decided we're going to pray until this person's saved and we're not going to quit until he is saved. You're not saved because of men's collective abilities. Not born of the will of the flesh. You're not born because you decided to be born. Not because of an act of your will. Does a baby decide to be born? No. His will is not involved in that. You're born of God. Birthed of God. Fathered by God. To be of God is to possess His righteousness as your personal righteousness before God. Now listen to what I just said. If I'm of God, that means I have the righteousness of God as my personal righteousness. Now somebody says, how can you say something like that? Because the Bible says it. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9 says, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faithfulness of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. God said, their righteousness is of me. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." To be of God is to have God as your teacher. He may use instruments like me or somebody else, but if you're truly taught, he's the one who teaches. "They shall all be taught of God," the Lord said in John chapter 6, verse 45. "And every man that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh to me." Now here's the evidence of being taught of God. You come to Christ as all you have for salvation. You come to him as an empty-handed sinner needing his mercy. You come to him, you believe on him. That's what happens when you're taught of God. To be of God is to have God in you. The infinite God in you. 1 John 4:12 says, "God dwelleth in us." Colossians 1:27 speaks of Christ in you, the hope of glory. To be of God is to see God. Now, I've never seen him physically, but I've seen him in his word, and I've seen him in his son, because the Lord said, "He that has seen me hath seen the Father." To be of God is to see who he is in his redemptive character. It's to see who he is in the cross. We have a true sight of God. I want to read a passage of scripture from 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed, the seed of God, remains in him. He cannot sin because he's born of God." Now that's talking about the new nature. That's talking about the new birth, that which is born of God. Because it comes from God, it does not and cannot sin. Of God. He said, "He that's of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not because you're not of God." What is the evidence of being of God? You hear God's words. Now, if you reject this message, if I reject this message, here's the reason. I'm not of God. If I am of God, I will hear God's words, believe God's word, receive God's word, and look to what God's word says, that Jesus Christ is everything in salvation, and I will trust him alone. He that's of God heareth God's words. May that describe you and I.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.nybert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.